we are 3 minutes late, I do apologize, and it's Russ's fault. Okay, first thing we have is a call to order and a consent agenda. Do we need to have a roll call of who's here? Do we have a quorum?
Yeah, let's have a roll call.
Okay.
Francois Abbey.
Here.
Ethan Banks.
Present.
Russ Cromer.
Here.
Chris Engel.
Here.
Andrea Copeland. Emily Gilroy. Viva V. Sifford.
Here.
Jennifer Lyon.
Here.
Jip.
Here.
Jay Fun. Danny Shea. Amber Smith. Brad Jewell.
Here.
Juan Diego Wade.
Here.
John Warren.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We have approval of the previous meeting minutes. Does anyone have any corrections to the last month's, July's meeting minutes? Okay, do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Chris, and a second by John. All in favor?
Aye.
Do we need to do a roll call?
Nope.
No, okay. Financial statement.
Yep.
Any concerns regarding the financial statement? Any mentions of the financial statement? Okay, we all approved the $1 million raise we gave to Courtney. All right. Do we have a motion to approve the financial statement?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Juan Diego Way, second by Russ. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay, director's report.
Awesome. All right, I don't remember how much I told you the last time of how this meeting was going to go, but I got some great feedback from B and Russ that we're going to do things a little bit differently. So if it doesn't look exactly the way that you thought it was going to today, that's because we changed things up a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and present the director's report, which wasn't the original thought process for today, but should be good regardless. We passed the Tourism Master Plan at the last board meeting. Thank you for your support on that. I've been able to go to 4 different meetings so far to present that Tourism Master Plan to stakeholders. So far, it's been really well received. We held our open house. A number of you were able to attend. Thanks so much for being there. We also began our Tourism for All, our second cohort. Hi, Danny. Go. And we hosted a couple of days of partnership meetings for Capital Region USA. That is the organization that represents Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. To Western Europe at this point. It used to be overseas in general, but that's their area of focus. You'll see on the next slide that we'll be hosting the global Travel Exchange here in a couple of weeks. It'll be the first time that conference has been held in Virginia, and it's being held here in Charlottesville. We're really excited to welcome about 35 international tour operators and between 5 to 10 receptive tour operators here. I also attended U.S. Travel Association's annual conference, ESTO, a couple of weeks back. It's a great way to connect with best practices and other folks in my industry. Talked about crisis communication, workforce development, and a number of other issues. Brand development was part of it. So a great chance to meet folks and learn more in Columbus. I've also joined the VA DMO Executive Committee and attended their retreat last week. What's coming up next? We are, I'm presenting the strategic plan today in hopes that I can get feedback from you all so that we're in a place to approve it at the next board meeting. Wanted to give a shout out to the VRLTA Ordinary Awards and their recipients in case you all are able to attend that and the fall membership meeting. And we'll have the VADMO fall conference. We'll also be speaking at the Ragana River Basin Annual Conference, talking about our outdoor recreation initiative and how that has fit into the larger scene and outdoor recreation. And the Virginia Association of Zoning Officials have reached out about our wineries and the impact that they have locally. So those will be coming up both on the same day in September, which will be fun for me. Hotel occupancy rates, when we had to prepare this presentation, we didn't yet have July's numbers. July was softer than it was last year. We had a citywide last year, so we had multiple hotels that were filled for multiple days, and that did impact how this looks for this year. Our average daily rate continues to trend just above where it's been before, with our revenue per available room about evening out. Any questions or insights on those? Russ, Francois, any additional comments you guys want to make?
I mean, I'm personally seeing a decline year over year in ADR and occupancy.
Okay.
That's been for the last 4 months, but I can only speak to the past.
If we were going to try to distill this into like two or three sentences about the state of play year to date, year over year, like what would that be?
I think we're on national trend for a slowing down in occupancy and ADR, from what I understand. But we, Teresa was saying that she was on a call with AirDNA earlier today, trying to get a sense of how our short-term rentals might also be impacting our market, and how that might be affecting rates. So that was longer than a couple of sentences.
It did show what she was able to show me today, because she was just giving me a sales pitch, that the Airbnbs were also turning down in July.
Can I ask a dumb technical question about the data?
Yeah.
Do these numbers get adjusted for like how many Saturdays there are in the month versus year over year? Like, are those, okay.
No, so, like, some of the, like, Easter fell, I think, on a different month this year than last year, so that impacted occupancy rates. So we have to look at it in a really holistic way. They are just straight numbers
just
without
month to date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forward, is this plan to be just a 5-year plan, or are you plan to always, for the next 10 years, have all 10 years occupancy overall?
I usually have 5 years.
Okay.
Up.
So next year, the COVID year will drop off.
Yeah. That's the way I've been doing it. I have information to date back at least another 5 years or so, but it becomes too crowded on the chart to really read it. I forgot to welcome Amber to our board. And Amber's with the Bridge, and she is the head of our Discover Black Seaville Steering Committee. But for her knowledge, and for anybody else who is new in our room today, revenue per available room is how much each room is making in that month. So the first number is how full our hotels are. The second number is how much their individual rooms are going for. And then that last number is the calculation of the two combined. All right. Marketing and PR. We ran a number of national and regional advertisements this summer in order to try and combat the softness that usually happens in the summer. And we also are working our way through a search engine marketing proposal process. So we'll have a new vendor. The board voted to increase the amount of money that we spend on search engine marketing above the threshold that we had before, so we had to recompete that. We're hoping to have that new vendor on board shortly. We've also done several photo shoots, and you'll see some of the results of that throughout. And I think everything else is focused on a later slide. Here are some of the content highlights that the marketing team worked on this summer, either new or refreshing older content. Overall, our advertising and content impact is increasing engagement on the website, which is always what you want to see. We had a lot more engagement time. It was up 6%, a whole minute. If you think about a whole minute of extra time staring at a website, it ends up being fairly impactful. So this is really great news. Our public relations efforts, we have been hosting a number of international media and as well as the Macro Media Marketplace. Brantley, can you say a couple words about the folks who will be here at the end of the week through Macro?
Yeah, so Macro is the Mid-Atlantic Tourism Public Relations Alliance. So it's basically a lot of the DMOs here in the Mid-Atlantic region teaming up together to work together collectively and work with a variety of travel journalists that are located primarily on the East Coast. And so after the Macro Media Marketplace takes place on Wednesday down in Roanoke, I will be bringing some of the journalists there back up here to Charlottesville. We'll host a familiarization tour Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They were very keen to see a bunch of our wineries, still riding the wave of wineries of the year. And these journalists contribute to not only a variety of regional publications around the Washington, D.C. area, but many of them also contribute to some major national outlets as well. So it's a great opportunity for us to get in front of, I'll have five of these journalists here for those 2 days to show them our wineries, with our attractions, our restaurants, and just really give them a nice mix of the city and county. And in fact, one of these journalists has already published an article about our destination in advance of coming here for Southern Living, where she highlighted 15 of the top wineries throughout Virginia, and 9 of those were located in the Monticello AVA. So we've already got some great media coverage coming out from this group before they've even visited, so I can't imagine how great it's going to be once they get to see it in person.
Thank you. And here is some additional recent media coverage. Vogue was really exciting. My dad sent me that one. I was really proud. but they're all really great, especially the ones that are in our target markets. We're lucky that Trace is here with us because she's been very, very busy, and she will continue to be very, very busy over the next month or so, attending multiple meetings as well as hosting some site visits. I want to call out the American Tour Guide Association. Paula Reynolds is a really big deal. We're really lucky that she came here to tour and reconnect with our destination. Anything specifically you want to highlight, Teresa, on?
She was just very interested in some of our higher end stuff, so we were able to get to Clemson and Keswick and spend some time at some of those things. Her clientele would be people that sort of come on their own and visit these higher end entities. So, but she did send us a couple group tours, and we're hoping to work on those.
Awesome. Thank you. Visitor services. We take some time off in July, so that is part of what's represented here, but we're starting to see a pattern with our mobile visitor centers of visitation. Obviously, it's weather dependent, although we do host folks at our new office space when we are not running the mobile visitor center. But so far, the current visitation is down over this year, but again, we've had some challenges with the mobile visitor center. But what's exciting is that we are hosting the Virginia Tourism Corporation's Visitor Services Team. So has anyone ever stopped at a welcome center throughout the Commonwealth on the highway? Yeah. So all of those employees will be here for a training in November. It had been a long time since they had been here, and they wanted to refresh their knowledge of our area. So no matter who stops where, in which welcome center throughout the Commonwealth, those folks will all be up to date on this great opportunity for our visitor services team to show off what they know and be experts in this space. Our brochure distribution largely matches our target markets. I think it's really incredible that we've had 63 international requests for information. That's great news going into the Global Travel Exchange next month. And we also have been working to refresh our visitor guides throughout the Commonwealth. Again, our collateral is in all of the welcome centers in the Commonwealth. If you attended our open house and you saw the balloons that were blocking the back, that was because we hadn't quite finished the storage space for the brochures when we had the open house, and now they are done. So you're welcome to tour the back now and see our new shelves. But we're really excited to have that space all built out and host you all in it next in October. for destination development. This is a breakdown of how that team has been spending their time. I feel like more than 9% on funding. I know we've spent a lot of time recently on helping our partners get access to grant funding and supporting them through that process. It takes a lot of education, it takes a lot of time. We have a lot of research, we write letters of support, so it's a really hands-on process. Do you want to?
I don't want to interrupt.
Okay. But this is a breakdown of how they usually spend their time. The engagement team just conducted their 6 month review, so this is where these slides are coming from. This is a really exciting chart because this means that more partners than ever have been engaged in our partner portal. We send all of our advertising to our website. So if our partners don't have up-to-date listings, they're not showing well on our website, they're not really making the best use of our exposure. And so it's been a goal of the destination development team to really get our partners engaged through there, and this is great news. So we hope to keep seeing that go up. We started our Tourism for All year 2 cohort earlier this month. We have a really great group of folks who will be going on that journey again with us. That's a 6 month long training program on welcoming that will end in a Tourism for All conference again in February. We are also coordinating the 250th for Charlottesville, Albemarle, and Scottsville. So we continue to have those conversations. We're seeing a lot of interest in Teresa's line of work and sales and bringing folks here for the 250th. And we are going after a grant that has been supported through that committee to try and leverage activities that are going to be going on during that time. We also applied for an accessibility grant through Virginia Tourism's Drive Plus program to help extend our reach there. And then developing a timeline with OKRs, we'll talk about that later. I think those are the highlights. All right, anything on the director's report before I move on to the next section?
Yeah, I guess I'd love to hear a little more about the getting more folks to use that portal. Like, how did you inspire such influential youth?
I would love for my engagement team to answer that if they're comfortable doing that.
Sure. So with marketing assistance, we are able to pull, first of all, an audit of how many people are using it. So that's a great baseline for us to have. And prior to destination development being developed, it was very little people, if not the same people, using it over and over again. So we've done a lot of work with the marketing team to make that partner portal more user-friendly and have a bunch of individuals get logged in, have more access to things like newsletters, media mentions, being able to update your listings. So making it easier to use is one thing, and then trying to automate some of the tasks that are associated with it, kind of removing those barriers. It's still a work in progress, and we have talked, I think it might even be an OKR, we've talked about how to look at either every other month or quarterly some type of messaging to try and obviously engage those that are not currently using it, and then re-engage those that may have dropped off. So it's a little bit of a web to figure out, you know, if this member of the organization had a login and they're no longer there and that information didn't get passed on, we then have to find a new contact. So it's a lot of back-end work, but we're really hoping that we can inspire great use of the extranet in talking with Visit Lex in Kentucky. They did a big partner push for their partners to use the extranet, and they're housing a lot of these, you know, media mentions, training materials, you know, all that stuff that's critical for our partners to know about our industry. They're housing that within it. So we are, I would say, at the very beginning stages of getting people involved, but as the chart showed, you see a significant increase of people using it, and that's really the testament to, like, destination development and then the collaborative efforts between the two teams.
Yep. So, question: the people that are using it are fellow industry people.
So the people that are using it are those that are going to have a listing on our website primarily. So what we really want our industry partners, so the wineries, the hotels, if that person has a listing on our website, so it's got to be tourism-centric and within our area, we really want to give them the responsibility of being able to go in there and manage their listing on their own, right? Because if your pictures are no longer relevant, or maybe you've got a change to your business, it's very hard for us to be proactive over the hundreds and hundreds of listings that are on our website. So this is kind of giving you all the ability to have that little bit of power to manage that. And they've done a great job of building instructions on how to use the ExtraNet, and then also think about best practices. So anything from, what does the summary look like, to what are the measurements for a good photo should be, right? The blurry photo is not going to entice anyone to come to your winery.
And how does that relate to ordinary people just going on the internet wanting to come here and visit?
So the
I know we have the visitor centers, but I'm wondering, I'm bringing this up because I'm wondering whether or not the mobile visitor centers are giving us the input we want, or if we should be gradually or faster moving toward complete internet access for tourists.
So the partners net's going to be behind the scenes, essentially. So when you log on, or when you type in visitcharlottesville.org, what you're seeing is essentially the visitor-facing side. So you're going to see the blogs. You're going to see a nice piece about the Mobile Visitor Center right up front. You'll see the things to do. And then if I'm showing you hit that little hamburger symbol, or maybe you scroll all the way down to the bottom, that you're going to see partner portal. And that's going to be the language that our industry partners, again, our hotels, our restaurants, are going to look for, click on, to log in, and then be able to access sort of that behind-the-scenes area. And if you all are a partner that has a listing, and you're like, oh, it will not be, please reach out to us, and we'll make sure that you have the appropriate login, and that you can access the listing, and all the stuff is fine.
And do we know how the other industries in other states, how successful, if they have a mobile visitor center, or if everything is online, do we know how successful that is?
So I have done a competitive assessment for mobile visitor centers. It was one of the first things that I did when I got here. And you see them using a very similar model to us. So we use our mobile visitor centers, again, as our visitor-facing operations. We maintain those 10 shifts a week, but then we also utilize the mobile visitor centers at special events. So we've gone to the Winter Wander, we have done the Crozet Arts and Crafts. This is very similar to people in Boulder, Colorado. I've reached out to someone in Florida, so I did an assessment to make sure that we are staying within industry standard. And then, Courtney, I talked about the Welcome Center is coming here, but for those who haven't met, this is Ethan Wagner. He's actually one of our travel specialists. He's running the van. Ethan applied through the BTC just last week, I think it was, to take the Mobile Visitor Center out to the different Welcome Centers during our slower period of time, so that we can catch that traffic and encourage visitation during our slower or shoulder season. So hopefully we'll be successful in that, and we can send Ethan and then Rami, who couldn't be here today, out of the area to drive visitation in.
Thank you.
Oh. Did you say that there is already, or that you're planning to add some sort of regular communication to the portal users to remind them to keep up to date?
There's always, I'm pretty sure, a bit in the newsletter that says, hey, please.
But there's not a specific email list.
But not specific, yeah. So we really want to look at particularly the people that drop off so that we can re-engage. That's just going to take us a little bit of time to have a full load, and structural changes happening in the fall that we have to work around, and then probably in the winter when it gets.
I would also say, especially in light of Courtney's comment about the ad spend is going towards driving traffic to that website, so, and it is easy to update, it's very straightforward once you actually get in there and do it. But I think just those reminders would be helpful, and the value add of these dollars are spending money driving people to that site, so we should use that.
Yeah, and to answer Emily's question about, like, okay, how, like, why is there an uptick? So it, the reminder about ending your listing is in every partner newsletter. It is kind of towards the bottom, but still a lot of people do scroll to the bottom. And then a big effort has been making sure that our partner newsletter, and so by partners we mean other organizations within the tourism world, and that's main, most of them are local, right? So they're businesses, organizations, services that are providing an experience for the visitor here in Charlottesville or Albemarle County. They're going to have listings on the website. So then, just making sure that partner newsletter is up to date has been that list of who is receiving the partner newsletter. There's been a huge effort to make sure that data is clean. And so I think those are some of the reasons why we're seeing such an uptick. We have the resources, we're reaching the right people within our industry. And yeah, if you want to take advantage of it, just reach out to Chris.
How many partners do we actually have, like, on there, you know, roughly, estimates?
It's a tricky question between how many partners we have in our database versus how many have a public-facing listing, right? And so, several hundred on Facebook, I would say. But I would have to pull a report. It's actually several thousand. We have, like, just alone, we have about 300 restaurants or, like, food trucks for food experiences alone. And then you look at, like, the hotels, right? So it is a couple thousand. So let's say you're maybe providing a service or you're producing content like something like the Charlottesville Opera or the Charlottesville Ballet may not have a listing, but obviously they're adding to our content and they're adding to our calendar space. So if you look at those folks, we're talking about even a larger pool within our actual database and those folks are receiving the partner newsletter.
What would be helpful for you all in, like, I know it's more so, it sounds like more of a capacity thing in building the different lists based off what they need to be available for and being able to create, you know, different messages to reach out. Is there, like, anything helpful that, you know, board members can do to kind of help push that traffic? Like, if we have connections to people or reminding people that it's there. I don't know where you guys, like, fall in on the spectrum of where it is that you work, but, like, is there things that we can help with?
Yeah, definitely.
Tell people to go on our website, if they have a listing, look at it, see if it's updated, if they don't have login information to get a hold of us so that we can provide that. Because that's the thing is we're sending these messages to people who are on this list, but there are a fair amount of contacts that are no longer relevant that, you know, we don't, or who somebody had moved into that position that we don't have that contact. So just tell people to look at their Charlottesville listing, make sure it's up to date, and if not, and they need access, have them get
the request. I'd like to add kind of to, like, the larger picture of what's happening on the background with the collaboration between media and marketing. So, you know, Carla had mentioned that, you know, we have this great partner newsletter and we're sending it to these individuals, but there's always the question of, like, are we giving to the right people? Who's missing? And so a collaborative effort that's happening between the two teams as we work through different page refreshes, the ability, there's opportunity for us to tackle, like, okay, for the winery, the wine announcement. I know Carla did a great deal of looking into, like, who is on that page and who is not on that page, and do I need to contact these people, send them off the listing so that when this award is announced and we refresh the content, we have the right people that we can reach out to get new and exciting marketing material, that they're also getting, you know, this information to them. So it's another opportunity for the two teams to connect as well.
We have had a great point that I've called on you more than I usually do in a board meeting, and so it might be helpful for the whole room to know who you guys are quickly. Brantley, do you want to start?
Sure. Hey, everybody. I'm Brantley Ussery. I'm the marketing and PR director for CACPP, and I've been with the organization this stint for 5 years and a prior stint for a couple of years. So we're working here, love the destination, and got a great team.
I'm Teresa, I'm the sales manager, and in October I will be with the organization for 4 years.
I'm Cassie Ivey, I'm the director of engagement. I oversee the mission development and district services. I've been here almost 3 years.
My name is Ethan Wagner, I'm a travel specialist. I run one of the ECs.
My name is Carla Mullen. I've been with the CACPP for almost 9 years now. And so I first started as a travel specialist when we were administered by the CACPP. And about a year ago, I transitioned into the role of destination development manager. Currently, I'm the social media content manager. I've been here a year and a half ago.
I'm Chris. I'm the other destination development manager. I started about 4 years ago, but a lot of my story is very similar to.
Thank you, guys.
All right. I have a question about the events on the website. You have to upload the information and the plan for that.
I'm
going to
refer that to Chris and Carla because that's something that they tackle weekly.
Because we use anything going into Zero and radio stations. Mm-hmm. Is that the same interface you guys
use? We use Zoom. You are entering the information into SceneSync. The partners are entering the information into SceneSync. It then uploads to our data, to our website.
Okay.
It does that about twice a day. We are still hand approving, and actually a lot of organizations do it that way, especially because we are looking for that visitor focus. And the event has to be in either Charlottesville or Albemarle or at one of the Monticello ABA wineries. So we're not going to approve an event, you know, in Waynesboro.
Right.
Or the Seville Weekly High.
Yeah.
So it is, it's not a perfect solution, but we are using these things to populate our calendar. We will probably be changing that in the near future.
Yep.
System allow reoccurring events? Could it? Maybe if that's an option.
It'll be quite a bit simpler and I would say simpler and easier to use. Some of the things we run into with SceneSync is that people aren't always submitting an event necessarily to go on our website. So we get an event, it doesn't quite meet the criteria we need to be able to improve it. So we're kind of going to need a lot of hand picking to figure out what is eligible to go on there, some of not. But if this one has to be something where people will come through our website, but you don't have to log in to just think you want to do all
this. Just the downside of the venues, there's so many events, and having to do it more than once.
I don't know how many dates that's being bought out. But if you do have a reoccurring event, it does ask for specific dates, so if it's like every third Thursday in a month, it doesn't look like you have that option. But if you already have specific dates, like you can go ahead and line those up, and I guess however long it's up there, you can go back and update it and edit, right?
I would prefer that.
So does that mean we'll be abandoning the same thing?
We're looking into the different options. So what we're looking at is we have a contract with SceneSync that is paid, and so we have to pay to use that. Our current CRM and CMS setup can run events, and it doesn't cost us anything. So we're really not tapping into something that we're paying full price for. Chris and Carla have worked with our CRM and CMS to weigh the pros and cons. One of them was already mentioned this for SceneSync. You've got to log in with the carrying the CMS system we use, wouldn't have to log in. They're doing a lot of this long detailed stuff, looking for, okay, who's been in the basketball game, and it ended up on our calendar, and that's not super appropriate. We don't have a basketball game. I think through Shane Thanks, you have the ability to use emojis in your title, and that creates a big error on our end, so then they've got to go find that. So it's a list of pros and cons, and it's really important to my point earlier of kind of creating that standard communication with our partners that might be a little bit beyond the partner newsletter, something more specialized to get through to you all about these different changes.
That sounds like a very long yes.
I will ask you if it ends up transitioning at some point away from using things. You know, for so long we've weighed the fact that this is so easy for partners to just like send it to all the calendars. But then people spend a lot of time emailing Chris and Carlos saying, hey, I don't know how to edit my event through the partner portal. We have to be like, no, you have to log in through the same thing, right? So it's not very streamlined. Also, we just talked about trying to increase our engagement in the partner portal. If we do it through our website, any folks who go into edit their listing will also see all their events in one place. So creating sort of that consistency in the user experience, making it really easy for people also to understand the full value add of what our website has, from advertising to listings to events. So I think consolidating it, but yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons to doing it.
I wasn't asking for you if you were justifying or not. I guess yes or no. If I do the same thing and it goes up on there, and if it's not going to be there, I need to know.
Yeah, we'll definitely give an update when we have more information. We were not prepared to talk about this topic in depth today. So I appreciate my team doing a whole lot of this is a really great case study on how much we think about how we make our changes and how we try and make the experience the best possible for our partners, which I really appreciate my team giving a lot of thought to that. So, and thank you all for your questions. Cool. Anything else on the director's report? Cool. All right. You see a draft here in really big red letters. We're not paying a consultant. We're doing this in-house. This is not the tourism master plan that we're on the timeline. So this is very much a draft. I'm openly seeking your feedback today on how we can improve this and what we need to adjust. But it is the board's responsibility to pass a strategic plan on a regular basis. It was my vision that we break in our tourism master plan up essentially into 7 3-year plans. So that would put us into 21 years if we're doing it exactly the way that we outlined. But this is our first, what we intend to bite off of the tourism master plan that we passed at the last meeting. So I am not going to go through this. This is just one of the components to that, the strategic plan. Same with this. Every strategic plan needs mission, vision, values. We can't overstate this. We talk to partners all the time who work with us on a regular basis that don't always understand still what our mission, vision, and values are. So this is a great reminder for folks. And then we worked with Ashley Marshall from the city to update our equity and inclusivity statement. She adjusted the tone of this, which I think really serves our organization very well. So it's a little bit less transactional than it was before. But we really want to be a place where people feel welcome and continue to strive for that. We also want to be a place where we're getting a lot of economic impact, right? And that is a big part of what we do. And this is our usual snapshot of our industry's impact. These numbers will be updated, we think, around Labor Day. That's what Virginia Tourism said. So as soon as those are updated and we have that information, we will send out a press release and you all will be copied on that. Critical business imperatives. So these are the things that we are guaranteeing that we do. This is what we do. You could simplify it down to one, right? Just this first one, which is to generate overnight visitation, right? We offer more than that. I think there was a call before I was hired that CACBB offer more than that, and so we continue through this to show what else we do. But at the end of the day, generating overnight visitation is the mission of our organization. With that comes visitor spending. We want people to spend the night when they're doing more things here. When they stay longer, they end up spending more money. That also impacts meals, food and beverage taxes, sales taxes, and a number of and all of the hospitality and tourism businesses and nonprofits that are here. Midweek business is an area of focus that came up very strongly in the tourism master planning process. That is a need area of growth that we need to continue to tackle. We also provide a decent amount of research. We're constantly asking, especially our accommodations partners, to help us with what kind of research they need to make decisions. The whole tourism master planning process was a research assignment as well. Leadership, governance, and transparency. We are a government entity. We need to have this at the top of mind. We take this very seriously. I personally take this very seriously, and I know that we do a really great job of being equitable and transparent in our transactions. And then the rest of these are our different areas of work within the CACBB. So marketing and sales fall into promotion. Our partner engagement and development is the destination development managers and our engagement director, and visitor services. Our visitor services team runs our mobile visitor centers, but they also are answering the phones, they're answering emails, they're giving visitors information ahead of time. They're helping visitors in the moment when they need help or when they've just arrived and they need to find their way. All right. The tourism master plan goals. These are the same goals that you all passed at the last meeting. So we structured our strategic plan around trying to chip away at these goals. So the next bit of slides are focused on those five goals. This is a little bit of an explanation for amplifying visitor experiences. Many of our partners, like we said, aren't necessarily as familiar with our work, so we wanted to include information throughout our strategic plan that helps anybody who in the community who might read this plan be grounded in that, in what we're trying to do. I also got feedback that maybe this is too much information. So I'm looking to the board to help me figure out what is the right amount of information so that we are being transparent and we're communicating, but also so that we're not creating something, a document that's too bulky at the same time. And then each of these, the tourism master plan goals has strategic goals. So we have about five for each. I will walk you all through this, but are you following everything so far? Cool. Okay. So developing a brand that is distinct and noticeable for both our visitor and for our partners is something that came out of the tourism master plan. You'll see later in the OKRs, we plan on tackling that this year. So that is top of mind. Following that would be an overhaul of the website to match that brand, which is number two. Increasing visitation, specifically through brochure distribution and special event participation, is what Cassie was talking about. Not only local special events, but also being able to go on site to festivals and things that are reaching our target markets out of area, which is not something that we had done to date. If that means that we should purchase or upfit our mobile visitor centers to meet that need, that is the next bullet point. And then finally, fostering a stronger relationship with UVA and the foundation. We realized when Cecil helped us call that meeting last fall, we impact a whole lot of UVA departments, but we don't necessarily have individual relationships with all of them. And so trying to streamline that a little bit, trying to figure out where we can be the most impactful is what the last bullet gets to.
Is it worth a sub-bullet for number five that just carefully knows what the concern is about Virginia Guest House? Because this could be a really big deal, right? I don't think we benefit from not stating that. If the concern is that people are getting lost in the sauce and aren't going to walk away with why this really matters, am I wrong?
No, I mean, there are a couple of considerations with the Virginia Guest House. One is that there, when that hotel was being conceptualized, there was an idea that the CACBB would have some presence on site at a welcome desk. I don't exactly know where that stands, but that's been an ongoing area of conversation. Russ, I don't know if you want to speak to that or if you'd rather me not. Okay, yeah.
So, I'd like to introduce the person that will be directly sort of involved in the Ag corridor. So Darcy Whitehead was one of my team in the president's office. She was recently hired to take on engagement at MNIB. So she, I'll let you explain everything, but part of her portfolio will be welcoming the area.
Great. Yeah, not a ton more to explain than that right now, but yeah, the program director of the MNIB corridor, I work closely with Russ, is going to be sick of seeing me probably here soon. But kind of helping get that space exposure and actually creating some exciting events and experiences there to the HCC community as well as the students and the faculty and staff and kind of everyone in that.
This space, so the MNIB space, not just the guest house, is sort of like no other on grounds where there is sort of a mixing bowl of just academics and local and visitors. So a lot of this will develop as the spaces open up and as staff is hired and as the student ambassadors are hired to manage. That's the sort of agenda. So we're all learning as we go along with this one. And I did not envy the job of the RCA. I just tried to piece it all together.
But I think your point of time will flush some things out and what will be the priority, what works well, what doesn't work well. But I do believe that the CACBB staff working with Darcy and her team on like what's going on, having a really tight communication, and just visitor service training, right, like on certain things, is going to be really important for her team and for the people, because it's not just the UVA students and guests. It is, there's going to be a lot of public facing activities and people coming through that area. So, but yeah, I think TBD, right? There's still a lot to be figured out.
Emily, did you have something?
This, I feel like I should know the answer to this, so I'm sorry, it feels like an obvious question. The guest house is on grounds. Do they pay to you? Does the guest staying overnight pay to you? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. The hotel will be run by a for-profit company. So
okay.
They'll pay taxes, they'll pay property taxes, they'll pay all the taxes. don't worry.
Okay.
But it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a huge deal for many reasons.
Yeah,
let's
get it moving then.
I think another consideration that Jen was bringing to up is that this will be the largest conference center space that we have in the market. It's a very centrally located hotel. We don't know how that will impact the overall market. So we would want to wait on doing the midweek study, which you'll see come up later on, until the guest house is opened, so we have an idea of its impact on the market, and then we can move forward accordingly. Did I get everything you were thinking about? Any more questions or comments on this?
Summer 2025 was the publicly stated goal,
yeah.
It sounds like. Is that still a thing?
It's going to be next Thursday, right?
Not a thing. It'll be late fall, early winter, 2025, 2026.
Cool.
Cool.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I've been a part of many, many different strategic plans, master plans. I get them all confused. I don't know if others around the board do as well. And then how different organizations do them are different as well, as to what the goals are, what the measurable elements of the plans are. So in a strategic plan, you said this is a three-year document. So like when we look at those, the strategic goals, right, the five that you outlined, is it typical that we're looking at these as like, we should have not the lens of, oh, when is this going to be measured by, or what is the measurable behind, say, five, right? And that those pieces, right, the measurables will actually be in your annual work plans, like each annual work plan feeds into this plan, which then this plan feeds into the master plan. Is that, am I thinking about that correctly?
Yes. So what we've called the OKRs, the objectives and key results, that's our annual plan. So in the past two August board meetings, we kind of dove down into the OKRs. It was the first time we had done it. This is year three that we're doing it. I got some really great advice that maybe that was an executive director purview and the strategic plan is where the board should be focused, which I think is great. But yeah, the tangibles of the metrics that we're hoping to achieve, unless it's very, very clear here,
right,
would be in the annual plans. Yeah.
Okay. And the objective is to complete all five of these in 3 years, one year, five.
3 years.
3 years, got it.
Yeah.
I think that just helps, at least helps me shape my lens for how I'm looking at these things.
Yeah, and you know, this is what we're hoping for in the next 3 years, right? Like we don't really know what the next 3 years will bring, but this is what we're envisioning being able to accomplish.
So, and I envision some changes because I know hopefully within the next year or so, the city really wants to look at the Airbnb situation.
Great.
And that could have a big impact. We don't know how, but we know it's impacted our housing affordability, and we really want to delve into it kind of separately from the zoning ordinance. So, but
and if I may ask, the city, we're looking at legislation, the county's looking at legislation saying that when we approve these special use permits for Airbnb, that it doesn't go with the land, that it goes with the homeowner, and when they sell, and that starts a whole new process. They rejected that last year, the legislature rejected that. And that's very important to us because,
The reason that we're in this quandary now is because Airbnb is so powerful down in Richmond. That's why we can't get the information and things that we can't get now. So I can see why that probably didn't go far, but we definitely want to talk with you all about that.
Right, and you don't have those restrictions like we do, correct? Because you're not, we're Dillon Real Estate, but that doesn't apply to you, or does?
Well, I know that we can't get that information either. I know Todd out revenue guy, it's like, you know, we just don't have it. We have people that voluntarily give that information to us, but we know that a lot of it people just, you know, don't let us know and they just do it. So we hear from the neighbors. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's how we hear from the neighbors. Also, if you go on the ARB websites for your area, we find out a lot there. We do that.
If you don't mind, the county a couple of years ago did invest in researching which properties were available on VRBO and Airbnb and getting an inventory so that they were able to do.
There's a service that you can subscribe to that'll do that web crawling for you.
I think it's Samari.
I don't remember the name of the software, but it makes it easy for you to see what can be hard to peg down otherwise.
Yeah, and AirDNA, who Teresa was talking to this morning, can specifically pinpoint Airbnbs for a fee.
I
will also say that then proving that Airbnb is occupied and generating revenue and then not paying taxes. There's other legal steps you have to take to be able to prove it, which complicates things. And I think Mayor Wade already talked about this, but it's impossible to get Airbnb to respond to a subpoena in California also. So that's another legal hurdle on this whole hurdle.
6 months in one day.
I will share, we do have some percentage, I don't know what the percentage is, but some percentage of the homestay operators just didn't know or claimed that they didn't know that they owed the county money, and so a letter, a stern letter, has generated a lot of applications for folks to come into compliance. So there's some percentage that are going to fight, but there's some percentage that will come into compliance willingly once they are aware.
That also impacts our budget. Just for FYI, if they're not remitting the transient occupancy tax, it's not coming back to us, which means we're not using it for promotion. Not at this time. No, not at this time, Roy. You can do it during public comment.
So these are the 5 goals of the first element?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. So there are other elements?
Yes. Yes. And as I said, you're trying to keep us very focused today, John. I hear you. If there is too much here, that's okay. I'm looking for feedback. I would much rather present to you a plan that seems really robust than you guys saying, "Wow, she only wanted to do 5 things next year," and because she's lazy.
We're not thinking that.
Yeah. We had a DEI plan, and overlaying it with our strategic plan, our strategic action plan was making it so that we were going lots of different places to look at what our plans actually were. And so we decided to put a consideration for DEI into the strategic plan so that we have those guiding questions throughout and things that we want to keep top of mind. So that is what these slides are intended to do.
I know we're supposed to keep moving, but I really like that approach, so I commend you all for the way that you approach the guiding questions.
Thank you. Cool. Any other comments, sorry, before I move on to this?
This is under number one, but it's really for all, everything, right?
No, we have this for each of them.
Yes, oh, you have one. You have
different questions for all 5.
Yes. All right, number 2. I'm not going to read this. I'm hoping that you've looked at it in advance. We're going to go into the strategic goals. Promoting visitor experiences that remove barriers and provide equal opportunity. This is going to continue to leverage our work with Will the World, which we completed the 61 accessibility assessments a little over a year ago, and continue to build on how we are making a safe place here for any visitor. The second one is to continue our Tourism for All training. This is a welcoming training, but it is also an action plan training, which we found our partners really, really need. Amber, if you're comfortable speaking to it at all. Amber graduated last year.
It was actually a fantastic course in thinking about like how you approach your community. And I think I said this before, one of the greater things that I got out of it is being able to connect with other organizations and businesses here to be able to share back and forth different experiences that we've had and think about different things that we normally don't think about. So, I mean, if you guys didn't know, I'm Black. So, a lot of that information is extremely important to how we approach our community, especially if we want to change the conversation and rectifying, you know, certain paths and things like that. And also, get hit in the bed, you know. For creating an action plan to really focus on specific pillars. We have 4 pillars to focus on. I can't name them, don't please.
You're good.
But we have 4 pillars to focus on, and each course that we went through, we had a breakdown of what each of those particular courses mean, how it can affect your business or affect your organization, or how you approach it can affect the community that you either want to get in or a community that you may be alienating inadvertently. So using those particular courses through each of the times, we're able to create an action plan to address particular pillars you had to pick to, two pillars that you felt like your organization or business really wanted to focus on, and figure out step by step how you were going to address each of those particular concerns by addressing the problems, putting how you were going to do it, what personnel you were going to have, the timeline that you were going to give, and what you expect to achieve by accomplishing these particular pieces of your action plan. But it was great. You should encourage other people to do it. If for anything, you know, outside the homework, even though we already go to work every day, think. It's nice to be able to just connect with other people in your community to kind of see kind of other things that you might not be thinking about as relates to your organization. So it was good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Developing an ambassador program so we can have more people like Amber talk about our organization in this way. But also so that when a visitor comes here from outside, that we are all talking about the same messaging. We want the same things. And I talked about Nashville. You go there, and the taxi driver knows it's Music City, and the hotel front desk manager knows it's Music City. Everybody's saying the same thing, and it makes it feel cohesive. Building content and campaigns around our diverse range of storytellers so that people can see themselves here. And then the DMAP process has been on my radar for a long time, but they have been redoing it. It'll be done hopefully in 2025. I don't believe the CACVB has been accredited before. I'm looking at my handful of old timers, and they're not sure. But it helps us as we're maturing. I've been here now 5 years, and I think it's largely a different organization than it was before. And certainly the board makeup has changed a lot. That help us understand where our blind spots are and make sure that we're moving forward with best practices. Any comments on these?
I will say one more thing. I know the other good benefit for Tourism for All is that, like, you also have the capability of getting in front of smaller businesses that may not have the full development that they think that they, well, they might not be at the level that we would want them to be as far as tourism. And the information that's provided does kind of really make the mind work a little bit deeper as far as how a business runs and creating longevity as well as tangible skills for people that are translatable across any industry. So I think that's really important too, in being able to, like I said, continue to connect with other folks in the community so they can actually learn how commerce works here in their locality and how other people and other businesses play into that. So that's really good. With smaller businesses, sometimes, you know, if we're looking for courses and things like that to provide people like actual knowledge for them to, we want their business to make it. Like, we don't want them to fail, you know what I'm saying? Because it just helps us. So keeping those things in mind too. And then also having different people come in and out of the course also helps them develop a deeper course with possibly more partners that can create a bigger thing, if that makes any sense. So that was really good for me.
Thank you. I noticed on your strategic goals, and then your infusing guiding questions for equity and inclusion, but do you actually, for each strategic goal, you have 5 items, do you have a how-to for those, or that will be developed?
That would be developed. I didn't want to get into detailed how-tos until I presented all of this to the board to make sure that we were on the right track. I wouldn't want to spend extra time
right.
Flushing it out if we're going to ask things. Okay. Yeah. Some of those exist because we had to move forward with our objectives and key results so that I can guide my team for the next year because of the performance review process.
Okay. So you'll be developing how-tos for all of this?
To a certain extent, yes, and kind of a rough timeline of, you know, this, we intend to do it this the first year or second year or third year. Yeah.
Court.
Yes.
As some organizations and businesses move away from DEI, what's CACVB's commitment to it? I mean, obviously this is for the next 3 years, but have you received any pushback from folks saying, okay, enough of that, move on?
So this is foster a welcoming community, which is one of the goals of the Tourism Master Plan. To me, that
is language that says that we want to continue to have this be an area of focus and something that we want to see move forward. I know the DEI language can change. It has changed an awful lot. We're never not going to want to be welcoming, right? And being welcoming is welcoming to everyone. Do people push back on that? Sure, yeah. but I'm very committed. I have a team that's very committed. I like to think I have a board that's very committed to seeing this through and can see the value in it. It's been a huge differentiator for us in the marketplace, and that's why we won Wine Region of the Year and, you know, other accolades that we've gotten is by being welcoming, and to me it shouldn't be that easy to do, but so far it's been a huge differentiator.
And we have discovered like people that's trying to keep moving, so now I want to say concerned about that, we can't do it all by ourselves, but with that being still in existence under CACBB, we're really working hard at, you know, creating that that working structure for just to be prepared for anything, you know. We're creating that working structure to kind of stand by CACBB and them supporting us and giving us an umbrella to function. So we're working hard at that too.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah.
So sort of piggybacking on that, what if the county and city leadership changes and shifts vision or direction and says we need to cut this out, what happens?
So,
like at UVA, our board of visitors tells them we need to cut all of the DEI office, what happens?
I have a board. So, you know, the board is ultimately, the city and county are very, very important. They're the only funders of the organization. But I would look to the board in that instance to say, you know, you are the advocates for ensuring that the CACBB continues its work. And also, we have a tourism master plan that says this is important, and we all agreed on that. And that honestly was a huge motivator for me to make a tourism master plan, because you don't know how the tides of politics will turn, and so having a longer view helps us continue to make intentional steps forward without having to worry about the wind changing. Again, I'm not going to spend time on these, but these are very important for us figuring out ways to implement this forward. All right, strengthening community partnerships. Again, I'm not going to spend time reading through this, but we talked a little bit earlier about engaging our partners, our food partners in particular, to a certain extent our beverage partners. Our restaurateurs are really hard to pin down. I know that's true all throughout the Commonwealth. We see it with BRLTA, but they're understaffed, very, very busy. I'm looking at my restaurateurs. And so I recognize that there are a whole lot of things going on, but we also want to make sure that they know that they're part of the tourism economy. If you don't mind me saying, Jay, I know when we talked about it, well, I didn't know I was part of the tourism economy when I asked you to serve on the board. And obviously, we want our visitors to eat while they're here. So continuing to build that out, especially as, you know, we've had the opportunity with the local palate being in the top three, we want to be able to reach out to folks and make those connections as those accolades come in. Mentioned earlier, we are coordinating the VA 250th, so that will continue to be something that we're doing for the next 3 years. Depending on the success and momentum of that, we would maybe sunset that after the next 3 years.
Question.
Yes.
When I read this, it was a focus on revolutionary ideas through tours. You're not talking about our back during the revolutionary times, you're just talking about different ideas as they come up, correct?
So it's the 250th of the Revolutionary War.
Correct.
but also in an attempt from the statewide and national perspective of not just focusing on award, trying to make it a little bit more approachable to more people and to broaden the folks who might be interested. They have branded it under revolutionary ideas.
And so okay, not revolutionary history.
History is included in ideas.
Right, but it doesn't.
Does it need to say history? Would that help?
I don't know. When I read it, I'm going, okay, are they talking about current? Are they talking about past? Because history is past.
I see what you mean, though. When you say ideas, it sounds like the ideas or the sentiments are still right there.
Instead of the past.
Are the ideas revolutionary or are the ideas about the revolution?
It's a play on words, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
as much as you can encompass in this as will be relevant to trying to drive people here. But this is the only thing that we do that isn't entirely focused on tourism, because this is also what's happening on the local level.
Okay. Well, if we're the only ones seeing it, then it doesn't make any difference.
Chris, can you take a note so that I can revisit that bullet, please? Thank you.
I'm fascinated by the revolutionary war.
Me too. I mean, I'm a big history buff.
There
you
go.
There we go. All right. The next one, we'll talk more about outdoor recreation in a little bit, but just continuing to build on what we talked about with the Tourism Master Plan, helping develop and promote experiences here. Defining the partner services. So for the stakeholder areas where we're not focused on growth for the next 3 years, we want to make sure that we are telling our other partners how they can benefit from what we do. And so maybe this is, you know, a wedding planner who's not directly related to what we're promoting at the moment. But we want to be able to give them or anybody else in the tourism industry an idea of the kinds of things that we do for them. We don't have that articulated right now. So that's what that bullet point is. And then communicating that out to those folks is the final one.
Courtney, where you have these strategic goals, these aren't ranks, are they? These are just bullet points?
They are just bullet points. Sometimes they're in order. I mean, in this particular one, if we don't know what the services are, we can't promote them. So they are in a logical order when they need to be, and they're related to one another, yes. Any more on this one? Enhancing the local quality of life, that is ultimately the reason why the city and the county fund us, is we generate tax revenue that goes back into the city and the county that helps pay for all the other things that we provide as services to our residents. But we also need our residents to be supportive of what we're doing. The tourism workforce continues to be not just a local issue, but a national issue. We have a really strong relationship with ACPS. We continue to build on that. We want to do that with CHS, but they're not ready, so this leaves the door open for that. And PVCC keeps saying they want to have an academic track for hospitality. That hasn't happened yet, so keeping that conversation open as well. So that's what this bullet is. The second one is to help establish better access to our trails. If you're local, then you know, if you go on this little side street right here, you can jump around and go this way. We don't necessarily have that well articulated. We do have Ride with GPS, which is an app-based solution that helps guide our visitors. But we really need to make that experience safe for our visitors before we're able to promote especially trails. Collaborating with downtown. Downtown came up in the stakeholder research as a need area. Continue to have conversations with Greer, who is the executive director of Friends of Downtown, on how we can work with them to help collaborate. The next one is we did an assessment on how we're doing through Destinations International, and environmental stewardship is where we are the furthest behind, and I know that that's also an area that this community cares a whole lot about. So this will be just seeing what that future looks like. This would be year 3. This is not an immediate focus.
And then making sure that we have a crisis management strategy. At the moment, it's I reach out to the city and the county, and Brantley and I have a conversation, and then we move forward. It probably needs to be a little bit more formal than that, and we need to make sure that we're communicating that out. And that's part of the DMAP process that we outlined before. Yeah.
Just my number four, I don't disagree with it, but reading that, I thought it was more about like visitors having good behavior at on the downtown mall right at night. I think we could use a word or two to help
cool.
the stewardship.
Thank you, Chris.
I don't say anything about environment there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, we are not the visitor cops.
I was going to say, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, no thanks. All right. Anything else on this? Wrong with their head. All right, boosting sustainable economic growth. This is really what we need to set out to do, and having that be sustainable, so really looking into the future, not just trying to make decisions that impact things in the very near term. This is where that transportation bullet falls. So transportation came up in every part of the tourism master planning process as a huge need area. We want to continue to be at the table for those conversations so that we're taking visitors into consideration. Doing that thorough investigation of midweek business, talked about that earlier. We need to wait for the Virginia Guest House to open and operate for a little while, but it continues to be on our list of things that we need to do to ensure that we have a healthy accommodations environment, but also that if we have wineries and restaurants and everything open on the days that we want people here. So that will continue to be something that we keep an eye on. Working with our outdoor recreation stakeholders to continue to see the connectivity issue through, we want to make sure that we are providing a holistic outdoor recreation experience, which goes into the next, which is, we're not doing any infrastructure changes, but just being at the table again to say, have you thought about where visitors are parking? Have you thought about visitor signage and things like that? And then finally, to explore the funding possibilities with destination development. We had an event sponsorship fund for a while before I got here. I saw that through the first year I was here. We brought it back with the one-time ARPA funding, but it's essentially, if we brought it back today, it would be between 20 and 25% of our marketing budget, which is too large. And there isn't a great way to narrow it down for the folks who need it or would also promote the CACVB brand. What we saw was that most of the folks that we gave the money to didn't really leverage our brand in front of visitors. Which wasn't on the mission of the organization. We do get a lot of questions about that because people got used to having that stream of funding. And then, you know, I had said it was one time with ARPA, but the message didn't necessarily resonate with folks. So this last bullet point is to think about, is there a way that we should be providing one-time funding, startup funding, some kind of funding to organizations, not necessarily for events, but that help us reach other portions of our mission, and it's a little bit more aligned with where we need to go. So that's what that is. Any questions on these?
I have a question. So I've seen a lot of hotel construction going on. If an entity, a company, is looking to purchase or build a hotel here, do we provide any data or resources for that?
Yeah, they will request a meeting with me. Sometimes they request a meeting with Chris or Emily. And depending on who they talk to, you know, we keep each other informed, and we provide them with the same information that we would give any of our accommodations right now. But in large part, I don't think we influence that. We just provide a little bit of extra research.
Would this master plan help with that?
I think the master plan could be interpreted as a long-term investment in the success of the tourism industry and could be attractive to developers, but that's a guess. I haven't heard that feedback directly.
Yeah, I mean, from my planning days, a lot of times when developers, particularly for big projects like that, they need a little bit more. But if they're going to a bank to get in money, they need to do some type of economic impact. And I don't, this may be part of it, but they probably want more detail.
No, I meant to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's also my hope that we can, you know, partner with other organizations to get federal funds sometimes, because we have a tourism master plan. Something that came up during COVID was that we didn't have a regional economic development plan, a FEDS plan, and now we do. And that's for the same purpose of trying to make sure that we have the documentation in place so that we can go for additional funds if there was local appetite to do so. Cool. All right, and this would be the end of that document. I did mention that I would have some additional slides that I think are relevant in the appendix, because I want people to be able to find all the information when they are considering this document. But I'll pause here and say, you know, is there anything that you all want to give us feedback overall on where we're going, or things that we need to think about before I move on to the OKRs? Yeah.
So this is extremely robust, and I really appreciate all the thoughtfulness that went into it. Do you want the board to give you some feedback on, like, that's a lot for 3 years, and some areas where, you know, we either see priority or maybe a lower priority? Sometimes in the past that, you know, I've done sort of an after meeting, everybody tell us your top three from each section so we can get a sense of where, any thoughts that you guys have.
Yeah,
I mean, we want to help. I think we want to help you, you know, be effective and focused.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think overall my team is prepared to move forward with what we've outlined, and it's come from our team. But I think, you know, without cutting entire areas of work, but cutting down how much we want to accomplish in areas of work, I'm not opposed to that feedback. We just didn't want to be unambitious. So if it's better to have a conversation individually with folks after this meeting, I'm open to that. The only hesitation I have with that is that when it's not said as a group, it's hard to take one of 15 people's feedback and then chop across, right?
Right.
So we're going to be moving forward with our objectives and key results anyway. If we want to take October to distill this down a little bit more, we can. As I said, you're just paying me. You're paying me regardless. So you don't have to do this on a timeline. It would be great for our team to be able to go into the new year with what we want to do. But if we feel like we need to have some time to sit with it now that we've gone through an explanation and then maybe cut it a little bit, we can take time at the next board meeting if that is what you all would like to do.
I agree with Emily. I think it's very ambitious. A lot of really good things in here, but it is very ambitious, and I think maybe to do eliminate or put on the back burner some of the goals, strategic goals, and go with each one, it might be more beneficial for you and your team to be able to go in depth into some of the areas that are really going to affect what we do, which is to get heads and beds. Yeah, that's what, I mean, that's not our only objective, but we do want to increase tourism. We want people to come here, stay here, spend their money here, and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly. Yeah. After they spend all their money.
But you're missing a piece, B. We want them to come back.
Oh, and we want them to come back by being inclusive and friendly and warm,
right,
and all that,
right,
stuff.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, the customer you have, yeah, is more valuable than, like, that's a better investment than trying to find new ones. So
right.
I think that's what some of this is yeah, working towards as well.
Yeah. It just seems real. There's so much, which is good, but I mean, there's so much, and I'm wondering, 3 years is not a long time to be able to accomplish all this.
So I had that concern as well, that it was a lot, but if I'm hearing you, you said that you and your staff, yeah, sat down and said, this is, I think, what we can do in 3 years with your staff that you have on the back row there?
Yeah, we're not looking to increase the team. I think it is ambitious. I mean, we're an ambitious team. So we're not going to sit back and go, oh, well, three things, we're good. So, you know, do I think we can necessarily accomplish all of it? Not necessarily. There are going to be things that come up. The Wine Region of the Year award came up out of nowhere and totally upended what we did last year. That was not the trajectory that we saw for it. So, go ahead.
I just to add, I mean, some of the things to think about is like some of these goals up here won't be tackled probably until year 3, and then some of them probably will bleed over into the second, into the third, especially around like the infrastructure piece and building big business. I mean, we're not saying that in 3 years we're going to have a big business. You know, it's I think if you think about some of that that you see here, it might be tackled at the later part of 3 years and then bleed over into the next 3 years
as well. Yeah, I agree. Because you said that we're evaluating the progress on each of these things each year. So if it seems to take less precedent, then the following year when we get to year 2, some of these things may transform or fall off. And some of what I saw kind of overlaps.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like simultaneously kind of working together. I mean, I like the ambitious nature of it because this is, I can't speak for you guys, this is what you guys do all day long for us, so I'm good with being ambitious, but I think the yearly review part will really tell us more about how we can approach it, so I think it's go big or go home.
I agree with you. I think having, you know, goals is much better than not having any, just feeling like, oh yeah, people are coming here, you know, so I like it, exciting. More than just sitting back and being like, okay, let's look at this.
Yeah. I also wanted to add, I was able to support Courtney in these efforts to put the strategic plan together. And, you know, we didn't just create this out of the blue or out of just the tourism master plan. We looked at other DMO plans. And so we looked at people that were here in Virginia, people that had the same staff sizes, like people that were small college towns in the mountains, that were labeled luxury, now they want to spin it to call well-being. So we looked at a lot of other plans, and this is pretty much in keeping with what other people are doing. You know, the question came up about, you know, like what does the 1-2-3 year look like for each one of these goals?
Sure.
When you looked at this plan, you know, there was only, I think, one that's really broken down, year 1, year 2, year 3, for the board view. They kept it very high level like this. So this does seem ambitious, but we talked about it as a team, we see it in the tourism master plan, we hopefully have your support, but it is also in keeping with what other DMOs are trying to tackle.
Okay. Cool. All right.
For context, so in the past you've done some form of annual planning, but a 3-year document like this did not previously exist. This is the first time you've developed one of these.
I'm not going to talk about pre-Mike coming on board.
Yeah, I just mean, this is the first time a 3-year document like this has existed.
We had a strategic action plan, which was essentially get us out of COVID. And it was a 3-ish year plan that ended right as the tourism master planning was starting. So I didn't write a new strategic plan while we were doing that. So we essentially had no strategic plan for a year as we went through the tourism master planning process. But this is the first not emergency, like, what the heck are we doing? How do we survive this plan since I've been here? I think the previous strategic plan was 2013 to 2016, and I'm not sure that was referenced. I mean, what I love about what we're doing is that we are trying to tie everything together to make real progress and chip away at what at our goals so that these things aren't living on a shelf and never visited again.
I like the idea of taking a 20-year plan, breaking it down into 3-year chunks, looking at it on an annual sort of metric-based thing. I think you can only do it and see how it goes and see if it was ambitious or not.
There's some of that going on too, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
I like
the critical business imperatives to lead the document, so I think that's really important. And do, but question to the board, and like thinking from our other partners and industry representatives, if they look at this document, do you think they look at those 25 goals, right? Because it's five buckets times five goals, and that they can directly tie those all back to the business imperatives? Like, or are they going to look at it and go, what's in it for me? How's this impacting me? Do you know what I mean? Do we have to be more clear or explain? I get it. I understand this, but I'm just trying to think about the rest of our industry, right? And the rest of our other partners.
Anybody works on it, they can find something to be offended about.
Do they what?
To be offended about or feel left out of. And I think that that's a really good question. I think, like what you said, like it makes sense to me. So if somebody came to you and asked you, like, a particular question, like, how would you, like, lessen some of their confusion?
Could you explain it in a minute and a half? It might be more of the thing.
Right, that'd be tough.
Because you're trying to make it clear to people that are not necessarily invested
sure.
in this level of each kind of nuances to their business.
I'll try next week.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's the thing. It's really dense. You know, so,
yeah.
Having it clear. Which I think, you know, I think it is a matter of how much somebody's invested in finding out what it's about.
I think some of the partners would have trouble making those connections. Having the business imperatives helps.
Yeah.
And this board has an understanding. So that whole goal of proselytizing, if you will, to get other people to understand that all of these elements lead up to voting a vote a little higher in theory.
Right.
But I think initially people are going to look at it and be like, what's the advertising spend? Because they think that's what drives it. It's more than that.
Right.
And pushing the partner stuff increases. It, I feel like, will increase the inquisitiveness of people wanting to know what it is that's going on. I think having more questions is better than having no questions. So if people are confused, being able to have that open door to be able to have the conversation to open up some more, it also creates trust within the community. It also creates healthy conversations. Natural pushback. I mean, we're not just trying to do it in Seattle, but we want natural pushback. You know, we want people to really be engaged in what we have going on, especially if it affects their daily lives, their businesses, their industries, all of that. So I would encourage the questions, like, be confused, come ask. That's just me.
I think it's good to ask the questions. I think we're worried about the size of it. And if there's some way to have the same content, but maybe, I don't know, maybe some of the goals instead of 5-4, or just be able to combine, or somehow, I spoke to you also about some of the material could be in a link, so if they wanted to know more about something specifically that is not addressing the goals, that it could be in a link instead of in here, because this is, you know, 58 pages for someone to read that. That's a lot.
Well, I'm curious, I mean, maybe I'm under the misapprehension that this is to be presented, not just thrown out, correct?
I mean, this
is going to be presented by humans to humans.
Oh, yeah. Would this document live somewhere without context on our website? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, for better or worse, we're a public entity, so all of our strategy is for the world to see. So great. But yes, it would be on our website, which is my concern in not being inclusive of information, that somebody would take that document, send that document somewhere without the context of whatever other information we've included inside of it. So if we have links,
whatever you put up.
It's possible, yeah. But if I've made my best effort and I can point people to where I've put this on the website and this is the context that it looks like, it's helpful. But, I mean, I have my master's degree in rear coverage, so I don't know if that's
if I'm overthinking this, which is fine. I mean, we've been talking about my team doing this, but we also have a board of directors who help us with this, hopefully, and getting that word out. So.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just naive. I was thinking this was to help us,
no.
Not just provide ammunition for somebody to get mad about.
It is to help us.
Okay.
But every time we do something in that vein, it can be something that somebody else might have a critique on.
So what if you take all the information that everyone has said so far, talk to your team, and see if you want to make any kind of adjustments, no adjustments, additions, you know, just kind of toy around.
Ultimately, it's your plan. We feel like it seems like generally the goals and objectives are good of the plan, so.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, if anyone has any specific feedback that you're like, well, I really hated that bullet or anything like that, I will accept that information in the next little bit. I would say ideally in 2 to 3 weeks so that we have enough time to consider that on our team before we have to produce our documentation for October. That board meeting will be a little bit earlier than usual because I'm attending a conference. So we moved it to October 21st. So the turnaround is slightly tighter than it usually is. That's that reminder.
Next we have the, any other questions? Okay, next we have the annual plan review.
Yeah, so I would say that this was a last minute addition to the way that I was going to do this meeting, which again, I appreciate. I think that we can articulate these maybe a little bit clearer for you all, and maybe that's something that I need to take back because when we crafted these we also have our key results underneath, and it felt like an awful lot of information. So just if you don't see these as SMART goals and you would like to see a little bit more metrics, we're happy to take that feedback. Under leadership, my job in our board is to socialize the tourism master plan, to update our strategic plan, and always to increase board engagement. This has been a really wonderful conversation. This conversation wouldn't have happened in the entire time that I've been here, so I really appreciate all of the different perspectives and conversation we've had. I do encourage you to meet with me at least annually so we can have a more in-depth conversation about your area of interest. For finance, you'll see that this is really just about making sure that we can procure properly through the county and that my team is aware of how to do that. And each of the final bullets will be on development. Again, this is my plan for helping them with their performance reviews throughout the course of the next year. Anything before I keep going? I feel like you guys are probably, your heads are full. gonna keep moving along. All right, for visitor services, we talked about roughly what we're going to be doing, trying to expand special events and getting out into more festivals outside of the area, refreshing our standards there, and helping folks feel welcome when they're here. And destination development, help people be included in the tourism economy, be aware of how to engage with the extranet and the customer relationship management system, and then build a collective and accurate knowledge around our brand pillars, which would get updated possibly through the rebranding that we intend to do this year, which is on the next slide. We haven't done a rebranding since I've been on, and that was something that came out of the tourism master planning process. So we propose to do that this year. We also want to increase website engagement by 5% and really set a baseline for earned media. We have been really, we have a really incredible PR director, but we haven't really had a robust PR plan, and so this is what we hope to accomplish this year. And for sales, refreshing some of our itineraries. I think Teresa said she's been here 4 years?
4 years.
3 years? It's all blending together, but now we have a better idea of how we can successfully conduct sales here, and so trying to update that story.
get more RFPs out, hopefully get more hotels bidding on those RFPs, requests for proposals, and then increasing communication with our accommodations partners. We have a survey that we put together to try and get some of that information. Their budget cycles are a little bit different than ours, so this is a critical time of year for them. All right, any questions on that before I back down? That was real fast. Yeah.
I'm so sorry if you guys covered this before I got here. I was wondering if it was going to come up in any of this. The MVCs and how hot it is in the summertime, I expect that will be a persistent problem moving forward. Do you guys have any thoughts on how to, you know, I know that model is still kind of new for you all, and how to sort of marry hotness with
global existence? Yeah. So when the weather is inclement, we serve visitors out of our office space now.
Mm-hmm.
Our office space is able to do that where it wasn't before.
Yeah.
So that's how we respond to that. So we put a banner up on our website if it's raining or if it's too hot, that people should come to our office directly. Yeah.
We also mentioned moving, that we were off. So we're off the last week of July every year. And we talked about moving our break with MPC as the first week of July, when it's a little bit hotter than the last 2 weeks in the past couple of years.
Do you have signage for the new location and plans to tell people to come there? Outside, like on 29.
No.
So they know.
Like those VDOT?
No, we don't right now.
Yeah. Or even on the welcome to Charlottesville or Albemarle County sign, you know, visitor center, 12 miles, whatever.
Yeah, we can look into that, that there's a cost associated with that. I can tell by Jen's eyes that
we're looking at it right now.
Yeah. It's expensive, and part of the way of the conversation is if we're going to do a rebrand, the logo might change, you know, all these things might change, so I spent thousands of dollars on signage. So that is why we had kind of like a huge in-depth conversation about it.
We do still have visitor center signs directing folks to downtown, which would be great to have removed at some point.
If the board wants to know how they can help,
that would be great. That would be great. Sorry, Chris.
It took about 10 years to get the ones that pointed them to the Skull Center at PBCC. So,
great.
Wait,
so
is
that
I believe it's the city, but.
Depends on which one.
Yeah. You can
get
them down.
You're welcome
too. On topic, long discussion.
Okay. Like contracts involved will go out. It's not within our purview to be able to do that.
Okay. So moving on, we next have public comment. Anyone from the public wishes to say something?
Boyd, do you want to say anything now?
Well, I was going to talk about Airbnb. You know, there's two parts to Airbnb, or short-term rentals. One is the business license. Any business needs to get a business license. And there are different rules in Albemarle County than there is in the city of Charlottesville. So there's the business license. The other side of it is the rental side. When I want to rent a room, you go through an agency. An agency called Airbnb, VRBO, or there's others. State law now says that if you are running it through an agency, the agency collects the taxes on the TOT taxes and the sales tax. The problem is today that Airbnb just writes a check for $62,000 for August and just hands it to the city. No metrics, no auditable trail, no nothing. It's just a check for an amount. And so the county and the city, and the industry is behind us, the county and the city is left for just looking at a check for $62,000. What does it mean? Where did it come from and who did it? And Airbnb has a very strong lobby in Richmond that puts a lot of money into Richmond, believe me. And they said that, just trust us, that's the right amount.
Hmm.
we as an industry have worked to get transparency. So if Russ has got a place that he's renting out, on one line it says Russ and it has how many dates and the rate, and it would show just like Francois has to do that for his hotel. We're asking for the same amount of transparency that other lodging has. So the problem is the county, I'll use the county, says, well, we don't know all these Airbnb because we really can't tell who's running who. And Airbnb will not obligate the host to prove that they have a business license. So let's use Russ again. He's got a garage that he'd like to rent out for graduation weekend and move-in weekend. And he puts it on Airbnb, bing, bang, boom, he gets his check. Supposedly the taxes are paid, and he's quiet for the rest of the year. So there's a lot of people in the Airbnb world, short-term rentals, who like to just do it for big weekends, and they don't do it every day. So this is a complicated question, and the industry is really aligned with cities and counties, and we came very close to requiring that there be an auditable trail. The state of Kentucky passed the bill and said you have to provide an auditable trail, and of course Airbnb and VRBO has all that information. They just don't wish to share it because they don't want to disrupt Russ's garage program. So that's the problem, and I think, I hope this coming season, legislative season, we can get them to hold their feet to the fire. So,
that'd be nice. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's very important.
Yeah.
That's really good. That comes in.
Yes. And someone said that we know about a lot of these Airbnbs because the neighbors call the county, and that's what, at least with us, that's what's been happening too. So, board announcements. Any board announcements? I've got two. One is that in the county, we're looking at another winery is asking for permission to be in business, so our winery business is growing. And the other one, if you know where Freebridge Lane is, and that is going to be probably this fall, maybe sooner than later, that's going to be, there's going to be a gate on each end of Freebridge Lane. It's going to become part of Darden Town, which is jointly owned with the city, and we're going to, that's all going to be for biking, walking, with strollers, running, and hopefully, that's why I wanted your information, Amber, is that in the future we can have maybe artistic events there, musical events there, by the city and the county, doing something like that, because it's a long stretch of road.
It's a long stretch of road. Yeah.
And it's right next to the river. It's going to be really nice.
So with that, with the gates and stuff, are they going to redevelop any other part of the area, or just keep it as is and put the gates there?
Well, we'll have the gates first. And then it's probably going to take us a few more years if I can get funding through the board to add, or you know, through Parks and Rec to add. It'll be little by little. It's going to take years and time.
I think people will like it.
That's all. Anyone else? Any other announcements? Okay, our next meeting will be October 21st at the. Your offices?
At our office.
Yeah. If you haven't been there, they're really, really nice. Nice facilities. And that will be at 4 o'clock. Okay, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
2 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
At 2 o'clock.
Oh, 2 o'clock. I said 4 o'clock. That's what we 2 o'clock. Sorry. Thank you.